that I'm mentioning tonight because we'll be here a long time, all right? And we'll just, but we'll talk about it, okay? We're talking about getting ready to leave. I was sitting over here thinking, we ought to get that song out. I'm getting ready now to leave this world. Yep, I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. Keeping my record bright, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. We ought to get the words and pass that out. We ought to sing it every Wednesday night. You know, we'd have a good old time, right? How many of you know the song? How many of you heard the song? Good heavens, I just sang a little bit of it, all right? If y'all not listening any better than that, we ought to quit, all right? Just go home, all right? Yeah, laying up my treasures in the world. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You'll have to bring that up with him. Hey. Yeah. Yeah. Bring it up with him. Might have to preach on something different. Okay. All right, I got it. All right, good enough. We're Revelation chapter 6, all right? Tonight we're going to talk about the Antichrist, all right? The Antichrist. And man, there's a whole lot in the Bible about him. Just a whole lot that's there. Probably the only person in the Bible there's more about is the Lord Jesus Christ. And than there is about the Antichrist. There's numerous types of the Antichrist throughout the Scriptures. And I thought about it. And I really thought about speaking on the Antichrist for two different weeks, but I don't think so. So we're not going to cover everything, all right? We'll just cover some things tonight that I hope will be a help and a blessing to you. Revelation 6, verse 2, the Bible said, for true, I'm in Revelation 19. Chapter 6 and verse 2, and I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And if you will, on chapter 19, verse 11, now we're going to be going back and forth, so don't lose your place, all right? Chapter 19, verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. All right? There's two individuals in the Bible, all right? There's two white horses, there's two riders, okay? Two white horses and two riders that are mentioned. Now, the problem is there is a huge amount of discussion, argument, and there's a lot of wrong teaching, okay? I mentioned last week, you know, this, and we're going to just pursue it a little bit further tonight. These two riders, two horses, who are they? Are they the same? And in much of Christendom, they're considered to be the same, all right? But the only reason that's true is because of very careless handling of the Scripture. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, because things that are different are not the same. Now, I know that's an absolutely profound statement, all right? But it is true. Things that are different are not the same. I'm joking about stuff, and I said, you know, it's just like so-and-so, except here's the difference. Well, it's not just like it, all right? These two horses, they're both white, okay? But the difference is in who's on top of them, all right? And when we compare Scripture with Scripture, it's readily apparent that they're not the same, all right? So that's what we're going to do tonight, because in case you run across somebody that says, oh, yeah, they're exactly the same, those two riders, same person, no, they're not, okay? They're not. Now, the easy thing, well, they're both on a white horse. And they're both doing some conquering, so it must be the same. Well, that's careless handling of the Scripture. First of all, the writer in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 2. Look in your Bible. What does it say about him? He says he has, all right? He that sat on him had a bow and a crown. A crown. You got that? A crown. Just one crown there. Now, that's the Revelation 6, 2 writer. Revelation chapter 19, look at verse 12. The Bible says his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. All right. Now, y'all do understand the difference between a crown and many crowns, right? You understand that. It is one thing to have a dollar. It's a whole nother thing to have many dollars, all right? And given the choice, we'd all rather have many dollars, all right? So they're different, all right? They're different. Now, back in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 2, the Bible says there, we saw it there, he that sat on him had a bow. Had a bow. No sword. No sword mentioned whatsoever, all right? Now look in Revelation chapter 19. If you look there in Revelation chapter 19 and down in verse 15, notice what the Bible says. And the Bible says, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Now, you can read everything, every word in Revelation 19, you'll not find mention of a bow. Okay? The writer in Revelation 6:2 has a bow, no sword. The writer in Revelation chapter 19 has a sword and no bow. All right? So y'all do see there's a difference. Now, back in Revelation 6:2, notice what follows this writer there. Verse 3 talks about, you know, heard the voice, you know, when he opened the second seal, heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. Power was given him to set down to take peace from the earth. They should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. In verse 5, it opened third seal and beheld a little black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in the hand. Hey, what we see is famine that's coming along. All right, war and famine. The fourth seal, man, is a pale horse. And they said it was death and hell followed with him. So that writer in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 2, he's followed by war, famine, death, and hail, all right? That's what follows in his wake, all right? Look in Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19 is not what's following him. The Bible tells us there in verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Hey, that writer there in Revelation chapter 19 is followed by all the heavenly armies, all right? They're following along. Now, to be honest with you, I believe we're going to be there. I believe we're going to be there. I believe we're going to be on one of those horses. You say, I don't like riding horses. You will then. All right? You will then. All right? It'll be okay. And I believe we're going to be right there. And but that's not all that follows him, all right? Now, that writer in Revelation 6, he's followed by war, famine, death, and hell. In Revelation 19, he's followed by the heavenly armies and 1,000 years of peace on this earth. 1,000 years of peace. Say, preacher, where'd you get that? Revelation chapter 20, all right? You read there in Revelation chapter 20 and in verse 1 through 6, there's going to be peace on earth 1,000 years. 1,000 years. Hey, do you see? Things that are different are not the same. They're not the same. So that writer in Revelation 6 is not the same as a writer in Revelation chapter 19. But there's something about that writer in Revelation 6 that makes a lot of people that don't study their Bible think they're the same. And that is because he's the greatest imitator of Jesus Christ ever. Greatest imitator of Jesus Christ ever, all right? For 1,500 years, he's deceived the six major denominations, the Catholics, the Lutheran, the Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Methodist, Greek Orthodox, and they think they're the same. And the sad thing is because of the decline in our day of biblical Christianity, that is where people tune in and pay attention, study, and read their Bible, all right? We don't do that, then he's able to see more and more folks in our day and fool them, all right? His name, if you can't figure it out, is Satan or Lucifer, all right? But I want you to notice, I said he's the greatest imitator there is. It's an imitation of the Lord Jesus Christ being imitated by Satan, okay? That's what's going on. Now, Revelation 19, the Bible tells us Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. That's his name, the King of Kings. Well, if you get in Job chapter 41 and you read that last verse in chapter 41, The Bible tells us that the devil and his henchmen, he's the king of the children of pride. He's a king too, all right? He's a king too. Not only that, the Lord Jesus Christ is described for us in the scripture in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 14 as an angel of the Lord. An angel of the Lord. You say, well, where's the devil come in? Well, if you get in there and you read your Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 11, 12, 13, and 14, the Bible says he's an angel of light. He's able to transform himself into an angel of light. So don't get excited if some point in life you're out there and you said, well, I saw an angel. Must have been God. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Be careful, all right? And we got to understand that the devil is the greatest imitator of the Lord Jesus Christ to be found anywhere. He's an imitator. All right, not only that, but the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And we've already mentioned here, but I'll mention again, Satan appears as an angel of light. Light. Why not an angel of love? Well, because light is what he's trying to imitate. All right? Light's what he's trying to imitate, without a doubt. Notice, if you return in your Bible to Luke chapter 4, verse 1 through 10, that is the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Bible tells us that the Lord was led into the wilderness 40 days, and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and then afterward he was hungered, and the devil came and tempted him. All right? Now, what did the Lord Jesus Christ do when he was tempted of Satan? He cited Scripture. He said, here's what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible says. Well, the truth of the matter is, when in conflict, Satan does the same thing. Because you read there in Luke chapter 4, verse 10, when he's in conflict, he'll quote Scripture too. He'll quote Scripture too. Hey, look. I emphasize this, and we go over it over and over again. That is why we encourage our people to be Bible-reading, Bible-studying people, right? Because you're going to have, maybe, if you have anybody knock on your door, there's very little chance it'll be a real Bible believer. Now, that's a sad thing. That's a sad thing. We lived on McGregor Drive for 17, 18 years, something like that. One time I had somebody knock on our door that was a Bible believer from another independent Baptist church in the area. And I ran them off. It was a blessing. It was a blessing. What a blessing to know somebody else is out there, all right, trying to reach people. But most of the time you're going to have people come and they may be carrying a satchel. And they got a lot of literature. All right? They got a lot of literature and they want to give you. And they'll talk to you about something. And it sounds pretty good if you don't know your Bible. Sounds pretty good. It's important you know your Bible. All right? The other ones, they'll come and there'll be two of them. All right? And always you say it'll be two guys. But one instance, I was at a house of one of our members and it was two ladies came up. And same place. They were from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, what they said. All right? False doctrine. The last time they came to my house over there, had a scripture sign in the yard, and they said, man, we like your scripture sign. I said, you just don't like it as much as that book you quote out of, all right? If you'd stick with the book that's got that scripture in it, you'd be okay. Hey, it's important that you read your Bible, all right? Because the Lord uses Scripture, but the devil will use it too. He'll use it against you, all right? The Lord Jesus Christ preached for 42 months. His ministry on this earth, 3.5 years. 42 months. You get over there in the book of Revelation, you're going to find the beast preaches 42 months. 42 months. Well, that's just happenstance. Surely you don't think so, all right? Surely you don't think so. Now there's a little room left in here. Y'all see that? And I wish I could tell you I saved this last. I've saved it on purpose. But the truth of the matter is I messed up when I was doing my PowerPoint. And I was going through it and I said, why isn't that doing the way it's supposed to? Well, it's my fault. I didn't do it. But it worked out pretty good, because I want you to see this. The Bible tells us the Lord Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Okay? He's God manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Hey, by the way, check it out. Almost every perversion of Scripture, so-called new versions, they mess up that verse. They do not say God manifest in the flesh. They don't say that, all right? But the Lord Jesus Christ was God. He was manifest in the flesh. But the truth of the matter is, if you take your Bible and look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, let's take time to turn over there, would you? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. I want you to look at that verse. Because this thing, so many, even Christian people, just, I don't know if they don't know it or they just kind of pass it by and gloss over it, all right? But 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, in whom the God of this world, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that, had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Hey, Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh, but the devil is the god of this world. He's the god of this world, all right? And we need to realize that. We need to realize that. So, hey, he is the imitator, and it is imitation unlimited. Now, we're looking at the Antichrist tonight, all right? And there are multiple titles given to the Antichrist in the Scriptures, all right? Multiple titles. We're going to go through some of them. If you want to write them down, you can jot them down, look them up later if you want to. And by the way, we're not covering all of them, all right? Not going to near cover all of them. He's called a prince in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 26. Also in John 16 and verse 11, he's called a prince, talking about the Antichrist. In Daniel chapter 8, verse 21, he's called a he-goat. He-goat. You read in Daniel, sometimes I'll be honest with you, if you're not really on top of it and you don't really study, you read over there in Daniel, it can be very confusing. But if you take time and walk through the Word of God, all right, you get some amazing things that God gave Daniel, all right? In Daniel chapter 11, in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 8, he's called a little horn. All right? He's called a little horn. In Daniel chapter 11, he's called the king of the north. King of the north. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 3, he is called the Antichrist. Now, the Bible talks about several Antichrists, but the Antichrist is referred here in 1 John 4 and verse 3. All right? And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we will be there in a minute, so if you don't take time, turn over there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible gives us the fact that he's called the man of sin and the son of perdition. Both of these. And these two titles maybe are some of the most well-known titles for him. He is the man of sin. He is the son of perdition. And so when we talk about him there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 2, all right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. All right? Now notice what it says about him in verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Hey, this Antichrist is, he's also called the beast out of the pit in Revelation chapter 17. But this Antichrist, I want to tell you, he is coming. He is coming. Now, down through the years, there have been a lot of people claim a lot of people were the Antichrist. Probably one of the most well-known. Now, I doubt any of y'all have heard of a guy named McBurney. But during World War II, he was a well-known Bible preacher and teacher, and he said that Mussolini was the Antichrist. He said it. Now, I think he lived to regret saying that, but he did say it, all right? Some people have said, well, Hitler's the Antichrist, or that. There have been a lot of people pointed out and said he's the Antichrist. I remember years ago, not too many years ago now, but when some people said that Henry Kissinger was the Antichrist. You heard that too, right? That Henry Kissinger was the Antichrist. Now, I never thought any of them were, okay? Never did think any of them were. Why? Well, they didn't fit the bill. Because, look there, if you will, in 2 Thessalonians, where we just read, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Well, it hadn't happened yet. Okay? Hadn't happened yet. Now, all the groundwork's been laid. All the groundwork's been laid for him to come. But he is coming, all right? He is coming. Now, right there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want you to drop down to verse 9, all right? The Bible said, even whose coming, all right, is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. That's going to be marked. He's going to be empowered by Satan, okay? To be honest with you, I believe he's Satan incarnate. Satan incarnate. The Lord Jesus Christ was God incarnate. I believe that the Antichrist is going to be Satan incarnate, okay? In person, if you will, all right? Once again, imitating Jesus Christ. Everything, imitating Jesus Christ. And he's going to be empowered. The Bible says he's going to work wonders, okay? Wonders are going to be performed by him, all right? Power, signs, lying wonders. Lying wonders. You just need to be so careful in this day. You know, people today think anything that looks like a miracle, God had to do it. But that's far from the truth. That is far from the truth. Just because something appears to be miraculous doesn't mean God did it, okay? We fail to see and fail to grasp the idea that the devil is one of great power. Great power. Our problem is we've seen too many pictures, too many cartoons or whatever. This fellow dressed in the red underwear with red horns carrying a pitchfork, and we think, who's going to be afraid of that? Well, nobody. But that's not the devil, okay? That's a man-made picture that some guy come up with and people have followed along, and the devil's all in favor of you thinking that's the devil, all right? Because you think, well, who's afraid of that? Well, nobody. But listen, the devil is one of great power, and he's going to empower the Antichrist with all of his power. And when he's on this earth, he's going to perform wonders, even raising the dead, all right? Even that, all right? So the world's going to be, sucked in. We'll talk about it, all right? Empowered by Satan. But I want to remind you, he is allowed to do so by God. He's allowed to do so by God. God allows certain things that he does not approve of. Okay? Now you say, run that by me one more time. Okay, God allows certain things that he does not approve of. I tell you, God allows folks that he don't approve of to have authority and power to control people and countries. Not folks he approved of. There's biblical examples. Saul, for instance. God allowed Saul to become king. All right? Was that the one God wanted? No. See, God's choice was David. God's choice was David, but the people said, we want a king, we want him right now. God said, okay, there you go, you got Saul. You got him. See where that takes you. I'll remind you, we get in New Testament times, And Pilate said, this is him, you know, king of the Jews. You remember what they said? We have no king but Caesar. God said, okay. I wanted my son to be your king, but you'd rather have Caesar, I'll let you have Caesar. Amen. Within 40 years after that, Caesar, Titus by name, came and destroyed the city of Jerusalem. Hey, they got what they wanted. God allowed that. Was that God's choice? No. But God allows things. God allows things. Hey, God allows you to disobey him. He allows you to sin, but that's not his choice for you. It's not his choice. His choice for you and me is a perfect will of God to live in a certain way, to serve him, to be obedient. And boy, we could have a wonderful life. But he allows you to take your own way. He allows you to do that. So God uses people. He allows certain people to do it. Hey, we can get outside the Bible. I think God allowed Nero to do what he did. God allowed Hitler to do what he did. Was it God's choice? No, God didn't want that. That wasn't what he approved of. But he allowed it. He allowed it. He allows us to go against his will. It's amazing sometimes what people want. And they think, well, that's what we want. That we just really got to have that. And God said, okay. Okay. Go ahead then. But it's not God's choice. But God's going to allow the Antichrist to come. And by the way, God's going to use the Antichrist. Okay, you say, how? We'll do that another night. All right? But he's going to use it. He's going to use it. Now, when he comes in, he's going to come in peaceably. All right? I know in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 2, it says he went forth to conquering and to conquer. I know that. But you do realize that all of conquering is not necessarily war. It's not necessarily warfare. It's not killing somebody. The Antichrist is going to come in peaceably. And what he's going to come in promising peace. Is that not what people today want? What was it? Neville Chamberlain, I think, that told England we're going to have peace in our lifetime. He said we're going to give Hitler a piece of the world, but we'll have peace. And everybody said that's what we want. We want peace. We want peace. And don't misunderstand what I'm fixing to say here. I heard the same kind of thing talking about Ukraine with Russia invading. And I've heard numerous people saying, well, man, we don't want to get into war over there. We don't want to go to war there. And yeah, I understand that. But you got to really, there's got to be a line drawn somewhere. Amen. There has to be a line drawn somewhere by which you say, you cross that line and we're going to war. Do we want to? No. No. Germany, and they gobbled up pretty much most of Europe before the world woke up. Before the world really woke up. Hey, God allowed that. Now, Hitler was a guy that said, we love peace. I'll never forget hearing B.R. Lakin talking about communists. He said, the communists are for peace. I want a piece of this and a piece of that and a piece of everything. And there's a lot of that. Well, the Antichrist come in. He's coming in peaceably. But he is a liar and a deceiver. Look at verse 10 there in 2 Thessalonians 2, would you? And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. All right? That's him. That's him. He is at heart a liar and a deceiver. And the Bible tells us over in the book of Revelation, when he comes, he's going to make a covenant with Israel. He's going to make a covenant with them of peace. But he's going to violate that covenant. He's going to break his word. Why? Because he's a liar. But what else could he be? Remember what John says about Satan? And Jesus said it in the Gospel of John. He said, man, he is a liar and he's the father of it. Okay? Father of it. So what else would the Antichrist be but a liar and a deceiver? Okay? A deceiver and a liar. He's also going to be a world ruler. Man, the world today, I remember when George Bush Sr. was president talking about the one world order, you know, and all of that. I thought, yeah, buddy, it's coming. It's coming. And it will come under the Antichrist. Now, I don't believe it's going to come before then, all right? But he will establish the one world government and one world rule. He will put him out of, you know, meekness, he'll put himself at the head. He's going to be the one world ruler. But going beyond that, you look back there in verse 4. We read it a while ago, but let's read it again. 2 Thessalonians 2. Who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And when he comes, he's going to demand people worship him. You get over in the book of Daniel, in the book of Daniel, where Nebuchadnezzar set up that great golden image, and he demanded, he said, now everybody, you're going to worship that image. You hear the music, everybody's going to bow down and worship that image. Well, in that day when the Antichrist is in power, he's going to be the one, he's going to say, you're going to bow to me. You're going to worship me. He's going to be putting himself, the Bible says, even over and above God, demanding worship. I'll be honest, you know, when I was a kid, I'd read the Bible, talk about Antichrist and all this stuff, and I said, how in the world could that ever be? But I've lived long enough to see things change in the world to see, boy, I see how it can be. Hey, I see people today worshiping people. There's a great host of people in this country that worship entertainers. They worship entertainers. Sports heroes. I like sports. Man, I'm at least the number two fan of Johnny Unitas, who most of y'all said, who? All right, I understand. All right. But, I don't ever want to worship him. I don't elevate him above anything, but, hey, he was a ball player, and I think he was a great ball player. I think he was tough and beat, you know. But he was just a ball player. Man, we got people today that whoop and swoon, and, you know, if he touches me, I'm never going to wash my hand again. You know, and I got their autograph. Oh, I'm at the top of the world. Hey, an entertainer. What a mess. I see that we could do it. Now, when we talk about the Antichrist, his destiny is settled. Revelation chapter 20, would you turn there with me? His destiny is settled. Is he going to rule the world? Yep, for a little while. Are the people in the world going to worship him? Yep, they're going to worship him. But his destiny, my friend, is he's headed for the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, look, if you will, verse 10. The Bible says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, in case you wonder what forever and ever means, it means forever and ever. It means it's never going to end. It means they're not going to be annihilated. There's never going to come a time where they're going to be annihilated. It means there's never going to come a time where they're not tormented in the lake of fire. Right? That's what it means. That's the destiny. That is the destiny of the Antichrist. But here's the problem. Look at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship. Oh, I've got the wrong verse put down there. All right, verse 20, excuse me. Revelation 19, verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. But notice, it's all of them that they deceived. They're going with him. He's going to the lake of fire, but he's not going by himself. Not going by himself. He's going to deceive many. I want you to go back, and it's going to happen because men are going to believe a lie. I want you to go back to 2 Thessalonians. We're going to wind up here, okay? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is the part that, you know, is coming. Now, we've already talked about, in this series, I've talked to you about the rapture. I believe there are millions of people across this earth that are saved. They're born again. Now, some are not good Christians at all, but there's going to be a ton of people missing when that takes place. And the Antichrist is going to come in, right? You said, how in the world are they going to account for that? Isn't everybody going to be, you know, I think I remember some fundamental Baptist preacher talking about a bunch of people going to be missing. And you say, well, a bunch of people. Well, wait a minute, what's going to happen? Look at verse 11. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Bible says, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Had pleasure in unrighteousness. I believe with all my heart that the Left Behind series of books, if you're not careful, gives people a false sense. Believe a false sense of what's going to take place. The Bible says here that God's going to send strong delusion that they'd believe a lie. Now, I have no idea what the Antichrist is going to come up with. I don't know what kind of lie he's going to concoct for that day. All right? I have no idea what he's going to come up with, how he's going to explain the missing of those in the rapture. But I'll tell you this, I believe he's going to come up with it. And the Bible said the Lord's going to send strong delusion. To who? To people that heard the gospel. People that understood the gospel, but yet wouldn't trust Christ. They wouldn't trust Christ. I'll be honest with you, I may be wrong. But I believe if you're here on this earth and you get a clear presentation of the gospel, you hear it, you understand it, and you reject him, and the rapture takes place, your goose is cooked, if you just let me say it that way. I don't believe you'll get a chance. I believe you'll believe the lie. You'll believe the lie. You say, no, I'll go back and I'll think. You see, when I was a kid, I told you I got saved 9 years old. We're studying the book of Revelation. Now, I would lay in the bed at night thinking about what I'd heard in Sunday school and thinking about that and thinking, okay, man, everybody's going to be gone. I'm going to wake up. Mom's gone. Dad's gone. My brother's gone. I'll be left here by myself. I'm on my own, and I was trying to figure out how I'm going to make it through the tribulation. And I'll make it through, and I won't take. But wait a minute. The Bible said God will send them strong delusion. Strong delusion. Wow, so much strong they'll believe a lie. They'll believe a lie. And that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Can I say this? We have the truth. We have the truth. We've got it. It's laying in your lap there on the pew beside you somewhere. We have the truth. We have the Word of God. We have no excuse, all right? Have no excuse for not trusting the Savior. How sad it be to sit in church service. This bothers me a lot. Not necessarily the Wednesday night crowd. Don't think, preacher, do you think you're looking at tonight's lost? I'm not thinking that, okay? But I do worry sometimes on Sunday mornings in church service. You preach the gospel, people are there. They're kind of nonchalant about everything that goes on. Doesn't seem to be anything real about them, and doesn't seem that God's working in their life. You can't have evidence, and man, you think the worst thing that I think could take place is to get to the point we get to heaven and realize where's so and so. And I thought they were saved. I thought they were saved. What a tragedy! What a tragedy when they could have been. But here's the problem, and I think that's the key. Is there in the end of verse 12 because they had pleasure in unrighteousness. Pleasure in unrighteousness. Oh, mercy. Where do we get our pleasure? You know, I hope it's not in unrighteousness. It ought to be the things of God, the blessings of God. There is so much good that's going on and so much there that we could find pleasure. What a shame that so many people seem like the only way they can get it is unrighteousness. You can't stay away from the beer barn. Okay? Can't stay away from, you know, I mean, just stocking up. Got to have that. Well, it's a holiday. Yep. Pleasure and unrighteousness. Pleasure and unrighteousness. Pornography. Pornography is such a terrible thing, and it's affecting so many people. It is so easily available. So readily available today. Hey, there was a day you had to go behind the counter or go into a store that, you know, if you were going in there, you'd at least try to hide your identity. But now it's at your house. It's anywhere. Anywhere. I mean, you got a smartphone, there it is. Hey, pleasure and unrighteousness. God help us. Look, you and I, we have the truth. Okay? We have the truth. It behooves you and me to live that truth. To live that truth. And to never be ashamed to give that truth. Give that truth. Never be afraid to do it. Never back away from it. Well, I don't have the answer to everybody's question. Me either. Me either. The other day, Brother Noble was here, and he was he didn't really ask, but he expressed something, and I had to say to him, you know, I really don't know. I don't know. I've heard different ideas, but I don't know. I don't have the answer for everything. But we've got the truth. We've got the truth. I do know enough to know, hey, without Christ, you're going to spend an eternity in hell. People need to be born again. And if you don't know anything else but how to tell somebody how to get saved, don't be afraid to tell them. You say, well, when I got saved, I got down on my knees and I prayed. Okay, tell them to do the same thing. Now, you don't have to get on your knees, but it's okay if you do. It's okay if you do. Somebody said, well, I got saved at my kitchen table. Well, take them to the kitchen table, all right? There's folding tables you can take with you, all right? You might not want to go that far, but I mean, just be willing to tell people, okay? Let's not back away from it. Not back away from it. The Antichrist is coming. What an awful time it'll be when he's here. But we have the truth. Let's get people ready, all right, so they don't have to face him. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, would you help us see our responsibility? Would you help us, Lord, to see that we have the truth? We understand it. We talk about it. We say we do. We say we believe it. Well, Lord, help us to be willing